one guy who was like old and kind of gross, and I killed him because I was like, not my game.
Really?
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
Believe it or not, it's Chi.
And I am wondering, or I was going to tell Chi, it doesn't matter what color our couches or anything is now. We're all just zoomed in on our face now. So, I mean, maybe I should put something cute, like, right behind my head.
Yeah. And, well, zoomed in on my mask. I am still wearing the mask. It might affect my audio quality, but I'm doing it for Bobby's sake because he is still pure.
Yes, I have not been contaminated. You two are on the COVID couch, though.
It's true.
That's why I seated you guys over there.
Dude, so at work, I was put in charge of like keeping the site clean for sanitation for COVID. So then, of course, my boss started calling me Captain COVID. And then the next week that he called me that is when I got it.
Oh,
it was,
man. Wow.
It was the irony.
And again, yeah. What month did you catch COVID?
It was the Kryptonite.
Late June.
Late June?
Yeah.
I caught mine mid-November. So I would probably say November 14th was my first symptom. And December 4th was when I finally felt completely back to normal without fluctuating from sick to normal, from sick to normal. It took a while.
It's weird, right?
But yeah, it is. It hits you hard physically and mentally. Luckily, it didn't hit my respiratory system, and now I'm feeling amazing. I'm good enough to enjoy myself a White Claw before we start this.
Good. Nice. So it's been 9 months since you've been on the show. What's been going on, Chi?
Has it really been 9 months?
March, yeah. It's been 9 months, almost to the day, because I believe the last show you were on was like the middle of March. Like early March, and it's early December. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the question of the century. What have you been up to? As you know, I'm a bartender in 2020, which means I suffered 4 different job losses this month. I kind of went into the survival mode. The fight or flee, and I felt like I was doing both. So I had to really prioritize what I needed to do for my survivability. And because of that, I've kind of disappeared from what I like to say, the face of the internet. And a big part of that was also this podcast. I did go back to work for a good 6-7 month stretch, and that was all around life consuming. While I was still working during COVID as a bartender, that was really hard.
Yeah, it's like you're worried every day, aren't you?
Yeah. So I was in a high risk scenario, and we were understaffed, overworked, and everyone's expectations were still very challenging to work around and with. All the standards have been completely wiped anew, and it was very hard to meet up to them. Besides that, though, San Diego right now, the state of the world right now, we're breaking record numbers in terms of COVID, unfortunately. And so we are in our second stay-at-home order since April. And because of that, I have time now. And thankfully, since recovering from COVID, I have energy. And I'm grateful that I feel like I came out a survivor in 2020 because I know a lot of you out there might be living your worst nightmare. And I feel like I experienced my very own nightmares 2020. But I'm glad that considering it all, I'm still back trying to invest myself into the things I love doing and being next to the people that I love too.
So you're currently employed?
No, I am not. Currently, no, I am not. So everything is kind of an unknown, but I'm fine with that because I'm very apathetic at this point. So I'm a little jaded, 2020 jaded.
What about streaming?
Streaming, I am getting back into that too. I just started up again this week. I don't want to overpromise, underdeliver, so we'll just take it day by day. Okay. That's the motto, basically, for 2020.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're still here. You could have easily packed your bags and went back home and just gave up, but you didn't. And Bobby said it a long time ago. It's just like, and it's hard to make it out here by yourself. And you've done it over and over and over, and now you've made it through the worst year ever.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's been tough, and I'm grateful. I do have family back in town. My sister's in town. I'm grateful that you guys were holding on strong while I kind of, like I said, I kind of disappeared. And I'm glad that you guys accepted me back here today. So well,
here's
thank
to
you.
Being tough as fuck.
Cheers, right? Cheers. Exactly.
Let's talk about some video games.
Yeah, so obviously this has been a big week. We've had the Video Game Awards. We had the Disney Investor Day. They announced a bunch of new shows. Cyberpunk came out. There's so much to talk about. I thought we would start with Cyberpunk because that is something that we've all played, and literally everybody's playing it. Ooh, thank you for the bits.
It's been so long since, I logged onto Steam and literally everyone is playing Cyberpunk.
Right? Yeah, I mean, posted a screenshot on my friends list in Discord a few days ago, and it just showed everybody playing the exact same game. Yeah, everybody's playing it, man. It's insane. Just in general, the reviews have been kind of mixed, mostly due to bugs and glitches, which I think we all kind of expected, but still, that's not going to stop people from complaining about it.
Right. PC Gamer gave it a, like, 74.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty
74
low.
Is lower than I would expect.
I don't disagree with that, though. But well, I'm still...
The vibe on the Discord is that people are like, still a great game. Yeah, it's got some bugs.
Yeah,
like
they're pushing through that. I think that's where I'm at, too.
Yeah, and it's going to get better from this point on. And it's really tough when it comes out of the gate with a bunch of bugs. Same thing happened to Warcraft, the Reforged, Warcraft 3 Reforged. They had a terrible launch. Within a week, I'd say it was exactly what I was expecting, and it was fine. But still, it kind of tarnished the reputation. So I don't know. Like, I've played a lot of it. I got my own opinions, but how are you guys feeling about it?
I could already tell that there's already been one patch, I believe, between the time that I started it and this time that I got to play today. And I could already tell, like, I don't know, it just seemed a little bit smoother and stuff.
Well, how are your computers handling Cyberpunk? Because a lot of my friends who have reputable rigs still struggle to have it operating the way they want it to the point where it is almost unplayable.
Yeah. It lags if I put it on high or ultra settings. So I've got everything on high, one step down, and I'm on a 1080, so it's not super fast.
I'm on a 1080 Ti, and I just hit the optimize button on on the GeForce Experience, and it plays fine. Like,
awesome.
I'm not having much issues. The first day I played, maybe because, like, and I guess we'll get into this, I started off in the desert. And it was like a wide open area.
As a nomad?
Yeah, as a nomad.
Okay.
The Badlands.
And it was pretty sluggish out there. It was definitely not... I think that area is so small, it's just not optimized very well. And I was like, ooh, man, this game is going to be rough to get into. I'm like, everything feels bad. The characters are...
Bad Max?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I went up and talked to some people, and they just were... It was so... There's just nothing to it. Like, I was like, I hope the game is not like this. And then I met my first NPC that actually matters, and he's full of color and life and stuff, and he's awesome. He's like some big Mexican dude. Do you guys know him?
Yeah.
It's the same guy?
Yeah, it's the
Jackie,
same guy no matter
what.
Yeah,
Jackie.
It's the same guy. No
okay.
What.
So, I smuggled some stuff across the border with him, and that whole experience was awesome. And it's been picking up and getting better ever since then. And so,
you're a nomad. That's great.
I did Corpo, and the Corpo one is terrible.
Of course
it is terrible. Yeah. And I started with Corpo, and as a female V, I maybe made it through portions of the prologue and then decided I wanted to be a male V. And as I restarted my male V character, I decided to choose Street Kid. And I'm so glad that I did, because the first, initial introduction before you go on your first mission was so, like, triple the entertainment value than initially starting as Corpo.
I'm glad you did.
Corpo, sorry.
I'm glad you did too, so you could compare them. I really enjoyed mine, except for the lagging.
I didn't even need anything to compare mine to. Mine was just awful. I was like, this is really bad.
It was cringy. I feel like with Corpo, it reminded me a little bit too much of what the beginning of Deus Ex was. Very slow pace. Not much personality. The fashion was on point, and that distracted me for hours on end. But beside that, there was not a lot of initial depth to your environment.
It was like the Phantom Menace, basically. It was so boring. But it wasn't even just that. So the whole thing with the corporation one, if you start that way, you're kind of like an underling in a big business, and your boss has like this rival in the same company, and he devises this secret plan with you where you're going to kill that other person. So you go to do it, and you go to a nightclub, and then some guys show up from that are like the rivals' cronies and say, like, we're on to you, and they knock you out, and boom, that's it. And you don't really get to participate in anything.
Yeah.
Like, you run through the offices, and that's it. Dude, it's just,
I had to fucking smuggle contraband across the border, and then they took me a secondary. That's what, because Sam was watching me. And when you cross the border here, if you're in trouble, they send you to secondary where you have to, like, get you out.
Yeah.
And I went in and, like, slipped the guy. It was good. It was good. I was like, I don't know which way this is going to go.
Yeah. As a street kid, you start off at the dive bar. So I definitely resonated with that.
Yeah.
And then in order to help out the bartender, so good guy V here, he was going to steal some extremely rich dude's car. And he meets Jackie because they're both trying to steal the same car. Mm-hmm. And then they spawn this beautiful bromance after trying to steal the same car. So that was pretty entertaining.
I think that continues throughout the game. At least I'm only like level 6, so I don't know. But let's talk about Jackie for a second. I really don't like him.
What?
I love him.
I really love Jackie. That's, no, you know, he's like a video game Emilio, right? Yeah.
No, he is like your typical,
dude.
He is like, he is such a stereotypical, like, I don't know, man. He's just like, he puts like a Mexican word at the end of every sentence, or starts with one Mexican word and then says something. And yeah, it's just,
I love
like,
it. That's exactly what
that's
I love.
What they do in like really shitty B movies, just to like, reminder, I'm Mexican. Yeah, right. You know, it's just, I can't, he seems like a really badly written character. I don't know. I do not like him. Somehow he's not hanging out with me now for what I'm doing, but for some reason, there's a mission later where you go see these guys, like the Maelstrom game, and they have like, you know, they've gone a little overboard with the cybernetics. And for some reason, one of those guys is just following me around everywhere I go. It's really weird. Like, I went to do the boxing.
Like, creepy weird?
No, he's just like my
lackey?
Yeah, he's like my accomplice now. He just follows me around. I get in the car. He hops in with me. I went to do a boxing mission. I don't know if you guys have done that yet, but you do like a boxing mission. I do that, and I start the boxing ring, and I start like punching the guy and blocking, and then my accomplice just comes in with a gun and just starts shooting the
really
dude.
Oh no.
And nobody says anything, and I won. So I was like, okay, all right, street rules.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's, and he won't go away. Like, I can't,
it might be a glitch,
like
of
a glitch.
Some sort?
It probably is.
How much are you guys enjoying the game? Let's just flat out,
here's the thing. Like, I think it's a good game, but that's about as far as I'll go, because I'm playing it and I'm like, this is just a game. You know, the hype was so huge. Mm. And I'm like, this is pretty much Grand Theft Auto. And the cyberpunk setting is amazing. Yeah. Like, sometimes I just stop and I look around.
It's distracting.
I look at all the people and like how they're all dressed up. And I'm like, this looks incredible, because there's really no good cyberpunk movies out there. I know some people are going to say Blade Runner, but
it's,
I'm talking,
it's
about
not
like
a good movie. I don't think it's a good movie, but anyway, it's another thing.
I watched it like 3 or 4 times, and like third or fourth time, I was like, okay, I get it. All right. But we could go on for days about that, but you need a lot of super expensive production design to do cyberpunk right. And like all the ones in this game pulls so much from cyberpunk movies, dude. The brain dances are basically squids from Strange Days. The first Ripper you meet is basically Henry Rollins' character Spider from Johnny Mnemonic. Mm-hmm. Like there's, which is kind of cool for me, like just to see all this stuff into one game and actually looking right. Like I really feel like I'm in that environment.
Yeah.
And it's not just like kind of dressed up with like shitty production design and costuming.
I do think that's what drove the hype, though. People want to be in.
Yeah.
So it pulls off I won't say it's a one-trick pony, but the big trick that they were pulling out, they got that.
Yeah.
They nailed it.
Yeah. But then you take all that away. Like, if this were a fantasy setting or a modern-day setting, I would have zero interest, man.
Right.
Like, none.
In terms of the game itself.
Yeah, the games, the missions. And there's I'm going to do the thing where I complain about a game and then say it's a good game. That's what's going to happen. There's way too much. I mean, it's a video game, so of course, there's way too much exposition. It's like I go on a mission and it's like, press F to sit down. And I sit down and someone just talks to me for like 10 minutes. And they're just like, oh, you got to do this. We got to get this guy. I know that guy is a bad guy. And then you're going to do this. And it's just like, I literally don't care.
Well, I'll notice that you can push C to split.
Yeah. Only sentences. So you have to keep tapping over again. Yeah. So I've started doing that a little bit, but it's just like, look, I'm just going to look at the quest marker anyway. When this is all done, I'm just going to go there and then I'm just going to go do whatever it says. Like I don't know. Like I'm not.
That's where I had a huge issue because the type of person that I am, I will absorb a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. When I played Cyberpunk, I thought I only had about 4 or 5 hours into it. But when I looked at my Steam time, I had 11. Damn. And this was before I started playing last night and restarted my character. I realized that I spent way too much time literally nitpicking every single little thing. And if I ever were to try to follow an objective, I would get caught up, self-entertaining myself. There's a lot of fun, random things that you can do. For instance, the first boss that you beat, I picked up his body and I shot him in the head, but his legs popped off. So after that, I began to kind of experiment a little bit more with a couple of different things. And I enjoyed the game, but I was fucking around so much with it that I wasn't really playing the game. I was just kind of messing around with the environment.
Mm-hmm. But that's not a bad thing. That's almost like a
it does have its entertainment factor.
You need a lot of time to play this game, like in a sitting. Like you can't just like start playing it and do whatever. Like if you get, I had to like just stop in the middle of a mission and it wouldn't let me even save in the middle of it before I came over here because it was just taking so long. But it just takes a really long time to get through things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, and this is just most games in general, it's just there's way too much dialogue and it's just I'm not going to remember. It's not like super well written. It's not like anything very memorable. It is better than average, I'd say, because this is CD Projekt Red and they put a lot of effort into having like really good quests. But they just, it's like watching Tenet. It's just like they beat you over the head with like 50 plot points and you're just like, dude, really? Like, and there's no like emotional pathos or attachment to it. So it's like, I don't care.
It's unfortunate because and that was my mistake in my first playthrough. When I first came across a computer, they give you that, the tutorial almost, not tutorial, but an introduction or tourist information about the city. And I sat there trying to read all of it. And I realized 30 minutes, 45 minutes already went by.
There's a lot of reading. One of those chips. That's a lot.
Yeah. And if you try to read and you could skim through it and you could kind of still get the complete context. And that's what I'm starting to do now. But unfortunately, in the beginning, I was into every little document that came through my way. I even read out loud the email advertisement I got for penis enlargement. Since there wasn't one in there, penis. I'm not sure how to really pronounce that. How do you pronounce penis if there's a one instead of an I?
I don't know. Penis. I think you just go penis. I think you still go penis. how did you guys build your characters? Like, what kind of stats?
Generally, when you let me do whatever you want, especially in a game like this, it seemed like even more I was pushed in this direction. I'm just a big dude with carries a big stick. That's it. Mm. It's like dumb, strong.
So you went like probably body?
I went a lot of body and a little bit of cool. Okay. And there's one for speed and reflexes. I forgot what it's called. Reflexes, maybe.
Reflexes.
Yeah, reflexes.
Yeah, so it's like 6-4-4 or something like that. Mm. And so I'm just going to play the tough guy and see how it goes.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame because at first I was like, oh, this is cool. They've got like technology and hacking or something. I don't know, electronics. And I was like, okay, I'm going to spec into that. But then as I'm playing, every combat encounter I've ran into, I've literally just ran in with a sword, killed everybody. When I get low on health, I heal. Like, they give you all these cool things to do. Like, oh, you can, like, cause this light to explode to distract them, or you can, like, hack their cybernetics to disable them and do all this cool stuff. No, boom, 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 everyone's dead.
Well, to be honest.
Difficulty.
I could do that. Maybe the game will get harder when that goes
on. Are you on normal?
Yeah, I'm on normal.
I'm on normal as well.
I'm on hard right now. And when it comes to what both of you guys are saying, it actually resonates with me. I prefer using my katana because it's the most lethal weapon that you get initially. And then I find myself becoming frustrated with attempting to do stealth or hacking, because even as you initiate your hack, you still have to wait 5 seconds for it to take follow through.
Yeah, not only that, so they did the whole training with the melee combat. Oh, this is how you block. This is how you do a power attack. This is how you, nope, running in. Boom, 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 everyone's dead. Literally just quick attack. Just da-da-da-da-da, everyone's dead.
I find myself resorting to melee as my my preference in terms of killing enemies.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's a difficulty thing, but it shouldn't be. Like, and maybe that will change later in the game. I don't know. I'm level 6. We'll see.
Yeah. But
I really was excited to see all the cool things you could do with hacking, and then it just doesn't even matter. But, yeah.
And they don't really hold your hand in terms of how to properly hack and what the different hacks do. And or how to install your mods, and it almost makes you play through the prologue. So I always recommend, normally I'm the type that will do every single side quest in the area before I even touch the main story, but it's almost opposite right now in terms of what I've noticed with Cyberpunk, because the main story will actually unlock certain elements about the items and the looting that you're doing, so you can actually apply them.
So Bobby, you're way further further than me. How are the mods, your body mods? Is it
the cybernetics?
Do you like how it works?
I don't have too many of them. Yeah, I mean, it's just another way to upgrade yourself and give yourself lots of these new cool abilities. And there's some melee ones that I'm looking forward to trying out, like basically a garrote that you can pull out of your wrist.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Mono wire is what they call it.
Yeah.
I haven't got that yet. And also these things called mantis blades, which are supposed to help, because I'm going like a full melee build. But yeah, no, I think that's great. The weapon system is very cool.
You're going melee with hacking, but the hacking hasn't paid off.
That is kind of what I'm trying to go for too.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm really focusing on is melee and crafting. I've been like putting a lot of focus on crafting.
I think it's a tech.
Tech is crafting. So it looks like it's going to be melee, like reflexes and tech is a melee thing, but. I don't know. There's a few things about the game that I find really, really wonky. Earlier in the week, I said last week, I'm going to try to play Witcher 3 again. And I did. And it didn't really work out. And I remembered why. The intro, just super long. You know, the game doesn't let me play it until about 20 minutes in. Mm. And then the controls are so weird in that game. It feels like a console game. And and to play it on a mouse and keyboard, it feels very wonky and awkward. Man.
I feel that way about Cyberpunk. I ended up asking console gamers how intuitive their game was with the controller, because as a diehard FPS PC player, there were so many counterintuitive or not naturally intuitive things, such as something as simple as looting. I find myself overlooking a lot of items, and so I constantly am hitting tab. To open, and then that will get glitched. That will get stuck on my screen, or if I'm, my hacking screen will get glitched. And with the glitches and the bugs, I think some of it is charming because it's not as bad as console players, of course. But none of us are console players in the room, so we don't have to complain about that. But it adds comedic value, but it does also affect the game enough where it is frustrating during combat, because there are times where people. The NPCs have teleported through walls and or shooting me through cars. So I can't see them. I can't hurt them, but they're shooting me through a vehicle.
I have not encountered any bugs in combat. It's mainly just looting is a problem. Like you press F to loot. Sometimes I'll be looking right at an object and the loot thing won't come up. So I'll have to jump up on a table, like look down, crouch, like do whatever I can.
Today I had to pick up a body and throw it somewhere else.
Yeah, like if it's next to a body.
Yeah.
I've accidentally like put people in the chokehold so many times trying to loot something next to them or talk to them. Mm. Like that's happened. And just the control of the character feels weird during combat. Like it's something I'm starting to get used to, but just it doesn't feel, you know,
I agree.
It's a first person shooter. I'm used to like snappy, like Doom,
yeah, it's not
you know,
snappy.
It's not, it feels the very shooting, sluggish.
The shooting's not great.
It's a little off.
It's a little off.
It's just like a little off.
I guess you got to get used to it.
Yeah. So that's something you will definitely get used to after time, but I hope to play the game more like an RPG anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
but
I don't know.
I am going to say this, maybe we'll close out on this. There is so much to this world. I feel like a lot of what they did was just building the world, putting tons of information out there. And if this is going to be your game to play for the next 2 months, it will deliver. It has mm-hmm. so much depth, because any little corner you go down, there's probably mm-hmm. a bunch of yeah. information that now, if you, who has time for all that? But if you do, I think this game will get better if you actually immerse yourself in the cyberpunk world yeah. that they created.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I find myself hours. Creating almost backstories for the NPCs that I encounter. And I didn't realize this initially, but virtually every NPC is randomly generated. Mm-hmm. Especially when I restarted as a male V and I was going through the same areas, realizing that that little boy playing hopscotch with the gun wasn't a little boy anymore. It was actually like a mini version of myself. And what's up with the baby sluts? I'm sorry. That's one thing that bothers me so much about this game.
Baby sluts?
Baby sluts.
Everybody is dressed slutty in this game.
Oh my
gosh. But everybody's very attractive, except for two people. I've ran into two overweight people. Like kind of
only two?
Yeah, only two. There was one guy who was like old and kind of gross. And I killed him because I was like, not my game.
Really? Wow, Bobby.
My time is limited, G. He's going to take you out.
He really doesn't like you. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he stated he didn't like Jackie, maybe like a subconscious like version of himself. Call him Essay. Call him Essay.
Bobby, on that last thing.
You should be as Jackie as possible in this episode.
He uses like... I know, like to you, it's just Spanish, but like
well, it's very different.
He's using up to date, like
okay,
up to date. What do you call it? Slang. Mm-hmm. Like so, he was using yeah, and so that's why I was like, oh shit, this is not like your typical Mexican. Okay. This is like if
he's a millennial Mexican. Out, he's in the know.
Okay,
that's
so
cool.
They did their research. I guess that's good. Yeah. Maybe it's that haircut, too. I do not like that haircut.
Yeah. No, the grain's great, though, in terms of, playability it needs to work on. Pacing, for me, I suffer with that. I don't want to say just blatantly, say it's great, because I haven't really actually felt that yet. Mm-hmm. My impressions of the game, my critiques of the game don't match the hype currently. But I am really in the beginning. I'm still in the prologue. I have been entertained playing this game, but I also feel like I have also been put to sleep at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like I'm going to pull away and just wait, because The Witcher, when it came out, was full of bugs. I remember like the horse bugs, your horse would flip upside down and the legs would be going. Like it was ridiculous at the beginning.
Mine actually had a fat chick bug. Every single fat chick would extend out their arms, and they would look like they were...
Let's do a T-pose?
Yeah, do a T-pose, like that's they were on the cross. Yeah. And or they were ready for you to shoot them dead or something, Bobby. But literally, every single fat chick was doing that in my game. Wow. So
maybe they were doing it in mine. I didn't notice because I didn't see any of them.
So The Witcher didn't get great until the Game of the Year edition when it came out. So,
it's going to be a work in progress. They had to get it out before the end of the year, and they did the best that they could with the time that they had.
But,
I don't know. People are on the fence and haven't gotten this. No harm in waiting, for sure.
Yeah, no harm in waiting, I would say.
Yeah. But, you're not like super missing out. This isn't like anything super groundbreaking.
It's only going to get better.
Yeah.
It's only going to get cheaper. And the main thing you're missing right here, if you got to be in a realistic cyberpunk world, they nailed that. Mm-hmm. They nailed that part.
Yeah. The most fun I have in the game is just when I'm not even doing missions and I'm just driving around and like I see some shit going down and like a quest marker pops up and I go get into it, you know, whatever that may be, and then hop back in my car and drive away. Like that's on, like just being in the world is the most fun that I'm having.
That's what I was trying to push, that like that's what they did the best. Mm-hmm. I guess we can move on.
All right.
I feel like it's good, but it could be greater so far.
Yeah.
Bobby, you can't continuously say that the Witcher's opening 20 minutes, because that's only one time. that you have to do that.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't pick up where I left off just because I needed to get reacquainted with the games and the controls. And it really wasn't that. A lot of games do that. They put you on timeout at the beginning of the game. They make you watch a bunch of cutscenes and do a bunch of stupid tutorials. And then, like, you finally get to play the actual game. Or you can just play another game that just lets you start playing it immediately. So I'm not blaming it entirely for that, but The Witcher has the weirdest controls. It's got to be for a controller, I guess, but when you play it on a mouse and keyboard, Cyberpunk has this as well. Like, you hold tab and then you have to, like, reach over and press F many times.
Weird.
Yeah, it's awkward. But The Witcher has, like, the dodge on the alt button, and you're doing weird things with your hand, and the character just feels...
Grab a controller, dude. Just grab one.
That would be even worse. That would be even more awkward for me. So, I don't know.
Gosh.
I didn't play it for too long, but I did really get into Gwent. Like, you know, the first guy you meet when you play Gwent and he teaches you how to play, like, he beat me and I was like, oh, fuck no. And then I played him again and I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting this rematch.
I never understood Gwent, dude. I never did.
I kind of get it now.
You know, it has its own game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I played that.
But, oh, did you buy it? Oh, you played it before this time.
Well, I played the standalone game when it came out. They had, like, an open beta or something. Oh, okay. So I got into it a bit. Yeah. So, the Game Awards happened. Oh, my God. Lots and lots of stuff with the Game Awards. You guys didn't watch it, right?
No.
No. Okay.
It was on last Thursday, 3-hour show like it usually is. Of course, they can't do it in person, so they kind of did this remote thing where they jumped around to different parts of the world. They did a really good job, I think. And I know I say this every year. It's really easy to bag on the Game Awards, but, you know, especially considering the setbacks that they had, like, everything went very smoothly.
It's an incredibly hard thing to pull off.
Yeah.
A big production without NBC or ABC money is incredibly hard to pull off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, and it's nice to celebrate gaming, and it's really easy to be cynical about, you know, AAA gaming, and I'm guilty of that a lot. But obviously, The Last of Us 2 totally cleaned up. It won Game of the Year as well as several other awards, and I still don't feel like I'm really missing out on that game. I'm okay with not playing it.
You wouldn't play it if it was on PC?
Like, if it was on PC, I might get around to it, but it's a console game, and it's very hard to, like, tell you what the difference is between a PC and a console game, but it's not just controls and it's not just graphics. There's something different about it.
Most of it is controls.
Yeah. Also. Well, I can't bash on console games. I mean, that's where we all started. And console gaming, actually, when I was sick with COVID mid-November, when I started to have energy enough to at least play a video game, I hadn't touched video games since I was last on the cast. So it's not like I was playing video games and ignoring the cast. I was literally not doing anything to even be a person that can contribute anything to the cast at all. So when I was sick, I started up Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. And I can definitely say, like, I love that game right now. And it was the one game, the one title that re-sparked my interest in gaming again. And I feel like with the Last of Us and how it cleaned up, Breath of the Wild was Game of the Year before. I knew that, it didn't make me want to pick up a console and play it. Mm-hmm. But I just so happened to play Breath of the Wild and then fell, like, by, of course, stealing my nephew's Switch again. And because I was sick and I couldn't get stand up or sit up, so that's what I was doing, and I'm glad that I did, because essentially it is an amazing game, and it offers something different that PC gaming can't offer either. A PC can run Breath of the Wild, it's a first. I mean, it's a Nintendo's baby, so there's a lot of love put into it, and that's notable as well.
I played Ray's house Friday night, and I played his PS5. And I played Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is like a DLC, but it's its own standalone, but it's for PS5.
Yeah.
And graphically, I was like not blown away. I'm not like, I was like, this could have been done on PS4. Mm. But they're like, there is something for console gaming. Like, there's a certain cinematic quality to it and storytelling and, like, I don't know what to, the, so there's 2 8-year-old girls and they were like glued to the TV watching me play and they're like, ooh, get them this and this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was thinking that could never happen on a Half-Life game. Like nobody would be watching me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very family thing because it's in the living room. Mm-hmm. It changes everything.
You just, could easily backseat a console gamer and that's, you know, how I grew up. Watching my brother play video games, and it's almost like I experienced them myself. But I do respect a lot of exclusive console titles, so that's why I'm not surprised that The Last of Us really did take home so many awards, because there is a lot behind a well-put-together game. Mm-hmm.
Just really quickly, the best thing about the PS5 is what Ray said, too. The controller is magnificent.
It's with the haptic feedback and whatnot?
It is crazy. So not only it's everything that you imagine in a DualShock, right? But it's the DualSense, right? So it will, it has haptic feedback. So if you're doing something difficult, it's hard to pull the trigger as opposed to just like a button press. Hmm. Like it gives you resistance and not just like easy resistance, like you got to really pull on it. So I thought that was really interesting. And that's on the fly.
Is like, that an option you can turn off for those who...
I would imagine so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I kind of felt like the winners of the Game Awards really reflected 2020. I felt like everything that won, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the games that won a lot, I'm like, yeah, that deserved it. You know, it was a lot of The Last of Us Part II. It was Hades. You know, just all the games that you would expect. Among Us.
What did Hades win? If anything.
Well, we've got the list right up here. There it is. Hades, it was nominated for a lot of stuff, but I know it won something. Performance? Oh, no. Hades, winner, best indie game.
Okay. Yeah, try it, Chi, if you haven't played it.
Yeah, there's...
And best
I have a lot
game.
Of catching up to do, but luckily enough, I feel like my gamer tenacity is back at it full throttle, so we're good.
Probably my game of the year.
Hades? Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe up there for a lot of people.
Bobby, although, you got to play it, dude. Oh, let's do that thing where everybody plays each other's game of the year. You know?
We could do that. I mean, we got a few other things planned for a game of the year episode, but yet to be disclosed. Tune in next week or the week after.
And I have no idea, by the way. I've missed so much. I'm not catching up right where you guys left off. I'm catching up since April. So some things might fly over my head just a little bit.
Yeah. I guess we'll catch you up. And then some people that are wondering what's going on, that we'll catch them up too. So we broadened... Because I've been so busy. Mm. I can't even walk my dog, like you can see.
Jocko is
a fat ass.
Jocko had too many tacos again. He was big before, but he is just... Yeah. I'm surprised he could still move those legs.
I know. It's so sad. So I don't have time for gaming at all anymore. So we've opened the podcast to more genres. So like Netflix, movies... and just in general, like I had CarMax on there earlier, but we have a fat show today. So
yeah.
Like a Jocko fat show today.
Yeah,
so we cut that off. But like, yeah, it's more about like definitely PC gaming is the core.
Yeah.
And then, but also our lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But not for you. Cause I don't want to hear about girl stuff. No, I'm kidding.
All right. So just let me wrap up my general thoughts on the Game Awards and we'll start going through some of the announcements there. They were really, really pushing the whole inclusion thing, black, trans rights, mental health, like a lot of that stuff, which is good. I feel like that's very reflective of 2020 as well, because a lot of shit's been going down this year. They have really downplayed the actual giving of the awards. And I don't know if it was because they were doing things remotely, but they would say like, okay, up for this category is this game, this game, and this game, and this game's the winner. And now this category.
What? Really?
They would go through about three categories rapid fire like that and just announce the winner.
Interesting.
When they got near the end, and of course when they did Game of the Year and some of the bigger awards, they would kind of run a trailer and spend a little bit more time announcing the nominees, but it was super rapid fire. It felt like this was mostly announcements. There was a lot of ads, of course. They got to support the show. They really downplayed that. They did add a new award, though. It was called... I wrote it down. Let me scroll down here. It was... Innovation in Accessibility Award. And that's newly added this year. And this is a really interesting award. So this was for something that, if we bring it up here, I'll read the actual description so I don't butcher it. It takes a while for their site to load. This award will recognize developers that are pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content that help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. So more accessibility. So like, you know, people with disabilities or stuff like that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, and that's good.
And even if it doesn't continue, like it shed a light on it. Like there's a spotlight on people that actually tried.
Well, he did actually say like they're going to do this award moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's like the important stuff you kind of got to tip your hat to during the award shows like this, because it's nice to like celebrate all like the big money makers and the AAA games, but you also got to really appreciate the little guys, the indie guys, and the people who are doing things to actually move the industry forward and progress it and not just kind of cater to the masses. And I think they've done a good job of that.
I do kind of feel like it is a weird one a little bit for me, because I feel like this is on the hardware side of things generally too.
I don't know if it's specifically hardware or if they're also including things like, because the winner of it was The Last of Us Part 2. And I think that was because of the trans characters in that game. So they're appealing to a wider audience. So, you know, being more progressive and inclusive. And they do have another award, the Games for Impact Award, which they've kind of glossed over in the past. They kind of just like announced it and didn't give like the person who won an opportunity to speak or anything like that, and just moved on really quick. But I felt like they focused a little more on that too. And I always thought that was kind of an important award. But yeah, those were my general thoughts on it. I thought they did a pretty good job. I liked the London Philharmonic playing the Mario 35th anniversary, thing. That was great. There was no, and there never is, there's never any mention of Blizzard really. Well, I think Overwatch was probably mentioned a lot, but there was no Blizzard announcements. They never do Blizzard announcements there. And there was no Blizzard games mentioned at all. So
even nominated for things.
Yeah. And without a BlizzCon this year, I feel like Activision Blizzard is just kind of off the map right now. Like,
yeah.
As far as gaming goes, it's very weird.
It is weird. Super weird.
I mean, that's just my perspective. People are out there loving the new Warcraft expansion. So, you know, I'm sure that Blizzard is very present in their lives. But for me, I just kind of feel like they've disappeared a little bit.
Absolutely, dude.
All right, let's talk about the announcements. We'll wait for Chi to get back to talk about Back for Blood, but I wanted to mention Scavengers. Scavengers is a game that they announced, and it's a battle royale / survival crafting. Two genres that I don't care for that much, to be honest. But it's an interesting idea to kind of like merge those two genres, and they have an open beta right now, and you can sign up just by going to their website, playscavengers.com. I've done that. I'm going to be playing it this week. We'll see how it is, man. I don't know. This isn't really my jam, but I'm willing to check it out.
What are you crafting?
I don't know. I assume it's like weapons, armor. I don't know if there's any sort of bases or anything.
Because this is kind of reminding me of Battle Royale, where you crafted your weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You mean Realm Royale?
Is that what it was called?
I think it was Realm Royale. Yeah, the one.
Battle Royale.
Yeah. the one that was by the company that made Smite.
Hi-Rez.
Hi-Rez, yeah. Yeah. Which was really popular for a minute and then just dropped off.
Yeah, they made some mistakes.
Yeah, I think there was one change that they made and people were just like, nope. And then everyone stopped playing it.
Yeah.
But this game, free open beta, pick it up and play with me.
Looks
this coming
good.
Week. Yeah, let's check it out together. And just in general, a lot of the trailers. So I listed the stuff that I found interesting. And, you know, we can pull up a list and maybe you guys can pick out stuff if you want to talk about it. But it's crazy to see so many new game trailers back to back. And just how similar they are. It's just like a dude running around, blowing stuff up. And it's very stylized and it's shot very, you know, very stylishly. And, you know, it's got like beat drops on explosions and cuts. And it's just, after a while, they all start kind of...
It's business, man.
Yeah. They blend together. But
hey, they made money doing this. Let's do this also.
Well, I mean, that's how you got to cut a trailer these days. And I get it. But it tells you nothing about a game. Like, I find that kind of annoying in movie trailers. I find it incredibly annoying in game trailers. trailers, because I've watched so many of these game trailers, and I was like, great, I have no idea what your game's about. Literally no. And they have to put the disclaimer at the bottom that says not gameplay footage. It's like, great, literally told me nothing. Oh, you got dragons in your game? You've got guys with swords? You've got guys with guns?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? Big deal, dude. That's why I have so much respect for Back for Blood. They played their you know, their stylish cinematic trailer. Right. I was like, all right, cool zombie game from the Left 4 Dead guys. Then they're like, let's check out a gameplay trailer. And then I was like, holy shit.
That was the only thing that I watched about the Video Game Awards. I was
the trailer for Back for Blood.
I was so happening to watch one of my old school Left 4 Dead 2 streamers. Lately I've been doing that. I've been lurking like a lot of old Left 4 Dead players again. And he brought up this trailer on the Game Awards, and I'm super excited.
Did you watch the gameplay trailer?
Yes, I watched both.
Because we're watching it right now. Look how much this looks like Left 4 Dead. Like, this looks just like it. And then you see these big monsters, and I mean like big special infected come out, and there's so much variety, and there's so much weapon variety, and you really get an idea of what this game is. And I'm excited about it. This looks like Left 4 Dead 3.
Yeah, and it essentially is supposed to be. So Turtle Rock Studios behind the original Left 4 Dead. They're also behind Evolve as well. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, have their hands in a lot
you
of...
You don't talk about
Evolve. I know. They also have a lot of their hands in other Valve titles. But Evolve, of course, I hope they learn their lessons from there and they make this game great. I'm pretty excited. It is going to follow the original Left 4 Dead equations, 4v4, or campaign mode. There's a plethora of different special infected, but with enough similarities to be like, oh, is that a spitter? That's got to be a spitter. That's a tank. What's cool is that this tank came out of the ground, so that might mix up a lot of things and
much bigger
and competitive. And on top of that, you won't have just four characters to choose from. I believe you'll have up to seven. And hopefully there's an Asian in this one. I've been waiting for that. I still haven't seen it. But beyond that, I'm pretty excited because I never really thought the Left 4 Dead community was dead. But I thought I was going to die before anything Left 4 3 related was going to come out. I had a big running joke with my brothers. Hey, if I die, put on my tombstone out before Left 4 Dead 3. Luckily, I survived COVID because looks like I'm getting my wish. I am going to be playing the alpha for this. There was a alpha key giveaway that you can register for on their website and on their Discord. And I did it on the Discord, and my brother actually got it, and he got two extra codes. And luckily, I was able to snag one of them as well. So the alpha starts December 15th. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Guys.
Nice. Yeah, it is. I mean, this is probably my most hyped for game now. The game's coming out in June 22nd. Anytime I see like a game company like name an exact date when their game's coming out, I'm like, damn, balls, dude.
Wait, 2020? No, is it June 22nd or is it June 2022?
It was just in the trailer there. I'm pretty sure it was June 22nd, 2021.
Oh.
But I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, because I feel like the original Left 4 Dead came out November 17th, and that's why their alpha is starting on the 17th, I think. Oh, sorry, not the 15th. Did I misquote? It's starting on the 17th. Oh, June 22nd.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was June 2022.
But you're playing an alpha.
So you'll have access earlier. And also on the 17th of this month, they're going to have a gameplay stream. So I'll definitely be checking that out
because
I want to see more of this game. But it looks like, you know, when you handle such an important game like Left 4 Dead, like there's things you change and things you don't change, right? Like
you don't change way less than you change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
you've got to keep a lot intact.
Yeah.
And it looks like they've done that.
The big question, though, is nostalgia going to be enough to make this game survivable in this day and age?
Well, here's my theory, and we've talked about this before. I feel like there's a generation out there of gamers who are not familiar. It's happened to me a lot. I ran into like some Zoomer, and he's like, what's Left 4 Dead? Like, oh my God, dude, really? What's Team Fortress 2?
Oh, no.
Dude, like, are you kidding me? Like, there are kids out there who have never had these experiences, and I've gone back and played. I played Left 4 Dead 2 when they had that new map update and everything. It is still an amazing game.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I ever stop playing this?
The fun factor.
Yeah.
Next level.
That big monster, by the way, it didn't look like something you're supposed to fight. It looks like a timer that mm-hmm. keeps you moving where you can't, yeah. right? He was just fucking everything up behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't know if you can kill that thing.
I don't think you can kill it.
No, I think that's like their take on a tank. And I feel like whatever we saw in terms of the gameplay video was
like 30 feet tall.
It was very scripted, but that's the thing. They actually, that's one thing I heard that they were doing. Just like, I think the size of the infected is also going to have some variable, like almost a number generated quality to it. The enemies are going to be bigger, like not just more, but bigger. And that was their
and
quote unquote
different kinds. They got one with his big arm that does something like does some sort of slam.
Yeah.
Move. And you know, it looked like from the trailer, you could tell there's lots of different guns, but yeah, I don't know. I want to see more. I'm very excited about that game. And, I look forward to playing that as soon as possible.
Can you guys tell from the inflection of his voice that he's excited?
Yeah, there's actually, yeah.
I don't get excited about many games, but
I hope we can get you into alpha. I'll let that you know if great. I can get my hands on any extra keys.
Yeah. Okay, the next game up that caught my attention was Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. So this is just Disco Elysium, the definitive edition. They're adding new quests, more voice acting, and it's going to be a free update if you already own the game. Basically just filling it out. So I don't know, if you never played this game, this is a good chance to pick it up, but that's,
I would be happy to play this game. Based on everything I've heard and
it's
your experiences.
Did we give it the year?
No. Didn't
win. But you nominated it.
Yeah, I nominated it.
And we ended up going with
Apex Legends.
Yeah.
Apex is still kind of going strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good game. Yeah. For sure.
Yep. It'd be a great chance for me to jump back into that game because I never finished it. So
yeah.
Yeah. I like when they do stuff like that. Next little update, Overcooked All You Can Eat. Same thing. This is just a package. You get both games, all the DLC. They're going to add a few new levels and skins. And one of the new skins, which they were really pushing, was the Swedish Chef from the Muppets.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably offensive. The Swedish Chef from the Muppets.
But they're white. It's okay, dude.
You can
be offensive as much as you want towards white people.
As long as they're white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had him. They had this goofy bit where he came on the Game Awards and kind of announced this. But yeah, that's a great fit. The Swedish Chef. Is that what they really sound like, though? Like, I don't know. I watched a RoboCop with a DVD commentary with Paul Verhoeven, and he does kind of sound like that. Verhoeven. But he's Dutch, though.
Yeah.
Where are the Dutch from? Dude. Yeah, the Scandinavian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Overcooked, this is a game that I felt like was so good and I had some great times with, but never really played as much as I should have.
Oh, I wish I could play this more and more and more, but I can never get the right number of people to want to play with me. I know there's online capability or options, but this is strictly for me couch co-op.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I get super excited. The last night I really remember playing this is, well, probably with my nephew. But before that, I remember I was at my boyfriend's house when we didn't live together, and I laid out a blanket on the ground and made it the picnic area. So everybody had to come and sit down on the blanket and play Overcooked with me.
I'm sure they loved it.
No, it was fun. It was hilarious because you really kind of get everyone's gamer persona when it comes to playing that game. Like, there's a person that's taking the lead, calling the shots. There's a person that, or and there are two people that just click and like they read each other's mind. And then there's the person that's just like falling asleep, not into it at all. And he's like the dead weight. Mm-hmm. At least that was my last experiences. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. The one guy who's actively hurting the team.
Yeah, this game will make enemies out of friends.
Well, yeah, I
feel like
I believe
the second
that.
One, they kind of scaled it a little bit better. So the first one, it was like, by the time you hit level 3, it's like, hardcore,
yeah.
You know, the second one I think was a little easier on you, so I don't know.
It's a great concept. If you haven't played Overcooked, just buy it right now.
The best couch co-op game, in my opinion, right now, outside of maybe what Mario Party and etc. has to offer. It's been a while.
Yeah. All right, next up, big news for Ark. Not a fan of Ark myself, but I know we got a lot of people who are. Vin Diesel is going to be in the next Ark game, Ark 2. And
my mom might be excited.
Can we go
about
an episode
that.
Without saying Vin Diesel? Can we?
Well, he keeps popping up in video games, man. I don't know what you want me to do. But on top of this, they're also going to be doing an ARC TV show, an animated TV show. Ooh. And I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, oh my God, dude, they're kind of ripping off Primal a little bit.
Oh.
Like, just it feels like it. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be very different.
Ooh, and it looks like, yeah, Vin Diesel character's creation model has nipples. I'm surprised we never brought that up, character creation in Cyberpunk.
Well, there's a listener question about it later.
So. Oh, okay, good.
What's up with that belly button, dude? That navel is...
That's what his navel actually looks like, then.
It's because when you're... No, it's because when you're a caveman, they just fucking bite that shit. It's not a clean cut.
Gross. So yeah, the animated series has got a lot of big names attached. Quite a few people, famous actors going to be voicing that. The animation looks pretty cool. Probably a ripe area for a story, I suppose.
Yeah, the last time they tried to do this was this game called Deliverance or whatever, I believe. Do you guys remember this? It was a sci-fi show that launched at the exact same time as a MMO. And they were supposed, like, plot points were supposed to be, as it was released on the show, in the game.
It would upgrade in the game?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Super cool. I mean, conceptually. But I think at the time, and probably still now, you're talking about two different people. You're talking about, like, TV execs, and you're talking about, like, creatives over at the... It's just a mess. You would need one or two people to run the entire thing for something like that to work. But this looks similar to what they're trying to do. And I think it's a noble idea. Like, somebody's going to pull this off one day, and it's going to be gigantic.
I mean, the landscape's totally different from when they tried that Deliverance thing. That was like network or television.
Yeah.
And now this would probably be a streaming series. I don't know where it's going to be available.
Yeah,
but
it was on Sci-Fi. I remember Deliverance,
mm-hmm.
but
I'm wondering who the target audience is.
It's you, Bobby. This.
No, it's not me. I don't like this game, and I can already.
It's like one of those unique communities that are going to be diehard virtually lifers. It's almost like what I was referencing in the Left 4 Dead 2 community. It's a game that kind of builds upon itself because they give that option for community modding, et cetera, et cetera, I'm pretty sure. As for the show and everything else, it's...
Well, I was actually wondering more about the age group.
Oh.
Because I was like, you know, Cyberpunk's coming out, and I was like asking my students, oh, are you guys picking up Cyberpunk, or, you know? And
no way.
Then I played the game, and I was like, oh, no.
No.
No, you're not playing this.
No.
Although you'd be surprised, man. Like, I've had some students that were, like, really into Grand Theft Auto 5, and that...
This actually breaks the maturity level in terms of video games all in all, I feel like.
There's a lot Cyberpunk. Of sex in it.
Beyond the sex, it's really disturbing. Like I said, the baby sluts still bother me to this day, holding their weapons and whatnot. And I was like, wow, they're really catering to every single type of audience in that case. And not in a good way, in my opinion.
This art is great.
Yeah, the animation looks great. It
looks like pretty good Japanese animation. But not,
this is way better than Land Before Time, dude.
The Land Before Time.
that's where you cut in, dude? All right, bro.
Dude, I watched that movie like not too long ago. It's not as good as you remember. First of all, it's like a little over an hour long, and it's just like, we need to find the Great Valley. Oh, there it is. It's just like there's, you know, that Big Tooth or
Littlefoot.
No, Littlefoot, but then the dinosaur,
Sharptooth,
yeah. Like shows up, kind of scares them a little bit, but then they're just like, oh, Great Valley. There we go.
It's a kid's movie.
And then
dude.
They made five more of them. Well, animation like that was super expensive back in the 80s, so I get it.
Yeah.
God, dude, I had like the Burger King toys of that. Loved it back in the day.
I was listening to our last episode with Nick today, and boy, do you poo poo everything.
It's what I do here.
It's good because I think everything is amazing.
Yeah. I'm keeping it real.
I caught the very end of that episode, and that was probably the only time I had the opportunity to listen into the cast. I don't know Nick well at all. It'd be nice to get to know him a little bit better.
Well, but he it was did really bring good. Up anime, though. Like, you know what you're in for when you bring up anime with me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, next up,
Is that the noise for when Amelia leaves? Yeah. I'll take one more. Yes, please.
All right. Next up, Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. Ghosts and Goblins, old Nintendo game. I think Nintendo.
Is this a take on Ghouls and Goblins?
Was it
Ghouls and Goblins? Ghosts and Goblins?
I think it was Ghosts and Goblins, the original Nintendo game.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a remake of it, and they've taken a different art style to it. It's kind of like a cardboard cutout kind of look to it. Sure, we can bring that up in a moment here after we click through this.
You mean they didn't go anime with this game?
No, they did not go anime, even though it is a Capcom game. but I really liked the art style, and I was like, oh, this looks nice. Like, just a nice 2D platformer. You know, hopefully it's got some fun mechanics, like either puzzle or combat in it. But I don't know. This wasn't anything that, like, absolutely wowed me, but I was like, that's cool, bringing back Ghosts and Goblins.
I figured you'd really be excited about this, because I do remember playing this game, not really getting far. It is pretty challenging, but I thought you loved the first one, and I thought you would be big on this one.
I didn't play that much of the first one.
I guess Minnie's not here, and it's definitely a platformer. So
yeah, it seems like a mini game.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I just like the animation style. I thought it looked good. It looked like a nice small game. All right. Oh, man. I really want Amelia to be here for these next two, but we can start talking about it, I suppose. A new Super Meat Boy game, Super Meat Boy Forever. Apparently, this has been in development hell for a long time. They've been talking about making this game for years and years and years. And it is finally coming out very soon, December 23rd. This game is coming out, a new Super Meat Boy game. It's got, you know, all new levels, same great characters.
Oh, Super Meat Boy has a baby, just like Emilio.
I think that's his girlfriend, Bandage Girl, I think is her name.
Oh, no, Super Meat Boy's baby gets baby napped. Oh. And you get to play as a girlfriend now.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever play or beat this game?
I think I attempted to play it, and then I realized this is just too high intensity. I kind of gave up on platforming games. Well, it's not really platforming, because it's more... Oh, it is platforming, but it's a super speedy, sped-up version of platforming.
Die, restart instantly.
Yeah, and for me, it's just... I just hate the feeling of losing, and these games just perpetually put me in that state of being. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, the idea... I mean, it was a big hit when it came out, but the idea is that you are going to die, and that's okay. You learn from your mistakes, you immediately start over again, and then you try again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then at the end, I like how it shows all your playthroughs happening at the same time, and you can see the one that makes it, so it kind of looks like Flappy Bird or something almost. But when Emilio gets back, we'll ask him. I want to say he really didn't like this game, which is so strange to me, because it seems like something he'd really enjoy.
Again, I guess since Minnie's not in the room, that's one of those things.
Yeah, but it's basically Super Meat Boy 2, and I never beat the first Super Meat Boy, even though I really enjoyed that game. And I don't like those type of games at all, but every now and then I'll play one that I really get into. And just this one was just like, it was okay to fail and you start again. Mm-hmm. Like, I was totally into it. Right, here's Emilio. Emilio, was it you or Chad that really hated Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, it was me.
It was you.
Oh, okay. So Amelia didn't like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah. Which seems weird to me. Seems like you would like that game. But there's a new one coming out, Super Meat Boy Forever. Apparently, like, when he originally started working on this, it was going to... It's one of those famous developers. I gotcha.
Bobby's opening my drink because I have... press on nails that are way too long for me.
Super long.
I already bent one like completely in half trying to pull my pants up in the bathroom.
How do you wipe your butt?
What?
How do you wipe your butt?
With a very flat palm. Yeah.
A palm wipe.
Palm wipe. And I make sure to always clean under your fingernails, guys. I have a separate toothbrush. If you have dirty fingers, just get a second toothbrush and use it every single time you wash your hands, especially during this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. But it's something was going on with this game. Like, it was supposed to be a different kind of game. Like, an open world or something really strange.
Yes. It's just showing us how to wipe your butt with super long nails.
Sniper just pulled up a tutorial, and it's a chick with, yeah, with long-ass nails about to teach you how to wipe ass.
2 million
Wow, YouTube
views.
Has everything. 2 million views.
That's good a lot of toilet paper.
You know what, dude? Good for her.
Like, so much
she filled a need. And she filled a crevice. Karate chops.
Literally using like half a roll there.
Oh my gosh.
Recommending.
Okay. All right. Last
gaming
thing
with nails,
up.
By the way, very hard. Very hard.
I can imagine.
You should see my keyboard.
I've seen people type with long nails and they use kind of like a very flat finger approach. Yeah.
I did this just because it's quarantine. Salons aren't open. I used to go to the salon all the time, but I was at CVS and they have press on nails. And these are, you're supposed to cut them down and shape them, but I was too lazy to do that. So I kind of just kept them long. And it affects gaming, honestly. Like, as a female gamer, I can tell you beauty and pain and the pain of trying to use a keyboard. I was playing Cyberpunk last night, like, with my new nails, and I was getting myself killed because I wasn't actually moving the way I wanted to. So these nails won't last a very long time. I promise you that.
Out of all the like things that girls do to look more attractive, that's the one that doesn't, I don't think it's attractive to anybody but other girls. Like, I almost feel like they're doing it for other women.
That's not true.
Does anybody find long nails sexy, Bobby?
Maybe not like long nails, but when you see a woman who is taking care of herself or actually working on her image, that's an attractive factor.
Yeah.
Like when you, like Bobby, he could be hosting this in a tuxedo. And like everyone's going to be like, ooh, Bobby.
He couldn't keep my hands off. When you think
a tuxedo would be way overdressed for this podcast.
But I'm saying like the subtleties.
I cannot imagine you.
Tuxedos are not subtle.
Black tie, Bobby.
Really?
Why Have not? You been black tie? I bet he would. He would be the new Bond if he put on a black tie.
Oh yeah, he could pull it off better than I can. I'd look like a fat penguin.
Oh my God. Yeah, nails, I gotta say no.
Yeah, it doesn't add anything.
Not really, yeah.
I've never in a locker room where you're like, do you see that girl's nails? Never once. Trump's over there in the corner saying, grab him by the pussy.
Oh, and goodness.
We're like, yeah. And then,
don't rope me in on that.
There is a factor that contributes because a woman who has beautiful nails, it builds on her self-confidence. And those are essential cues that men will be able to pick up on.
Sure, but it's not.
I mean, if it makes you feel good, then yeah, go for
it. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean,
love my brand new shoes. Blue suede.
Nice. Yeah. Puma. I've got new shoes too. Hoka's. They're nice.
Bobby has the same tired red ones.
Yep.
They're a good color.
SC trainers. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right, last one. Last one is It Takes Two. So we all remember Joseph Ferris from the Game Awards a couple years ago saying, fuck the Oscars, and kind of acting a little drunk and a little weird. He came back and was on this Game Awards talking about his new game, It Takes Two, which is very similar to his other game, A Way Out. You know, the one where it's two guys trying to escape prison.
Gee, you and your boy buddy should definitely play this together.
My boy buddy? My boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Way Out. So it's built from the ground up for a two-player experience.
For co-op experience. Yeah.
You only need to buy one copy, and the other person can play for free. And me and Bobby played it. I thought it was great, right?
Yeah, people didn't like it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will definitely get into co-oping with him again. I miss that so much. It was one of my favorite things about being in a relationship with an actual really good gamer again.
Co-opulation.
Uh-huh.
That was a stretch. Right. Copulation, co-opulation.
Oh, okay. Oh, oh yes.
Christ.
Yes, definitely
that. Spell this shit out for you.
gonna put a TV on the ceiling. And leave the controllers right next to the bed.
That's
Why not?
Co-opulation.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Nice. I like it.
A Way Out game, that was really dramatic. Like, yes. That was definitely going for, like, a serious drama kind of feel. This is way more whimsical. You are, like, these shrunken down yarn people, or these people who got turned into yarn dolls somehow, and you've got to make your way through these areas being shrunken down like that, which I'm always a fan of.
They look like Pikmin, which Pikmin 3 is out. I only knew that from seeing it when I was walking through Target. But they're adorable.
This looks
they're
like
tiny.
Little Big Planet.
Yeah, it's like exactly Little Big Planet. Like Little Big Planet.
Kind of has that look to it. And you know what? I like these types of games. A Way Out, Portal 2, the multiplayer. Like, I like the puzzle co-op. I think that's really good stuff.
Because so often, co-op is can we add in a second player? Yeah, let's just do it. And then maybe we'll add more bad guys.
Well, it's hard to do a co-op puzzle game like that. To make a puzzle that two people have to work on, each of them have different responsibilities, yet they somehow interlink in a way. Like that's kind of difficult to do.
But now you could extrapolate that. The only people who have ever done it to the third degree is trying, where if you play it as a single player game, it's challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you add a second person, the levels literally change to make it a little bit harder for two people. Now, I'm not talking about like the bad guys are harder. I'm talking about the puzzles get more extreme. And then if you add a third person, they get even more extreme. So those people had to draw three versions of every level, knowing that, you know, some people were going to get together and play it.
What game is this?
Trine
did that.
Trine 1, 2, and 3, yeah. And wow. I wasn't sure how they did it until I did play it on my own. And then I was like, oh, this gap is way bigger now that there's three people playing. So that's been said at a gangbang somewhere as well. Just saying.
All right. So It Takes Two. It's going to be out March 26, 2021. Not that far away. It Takes Two. That was an Olsen Twins movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Not that great.
No.
I mean, not as good as Double Double Toil and Trouble, but...
They became, like, they're caricatures of themselves. You know, they're like these weird...
8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I didn't even know what you were really referencing, but that's Mary-Kate and Ashley. Okay.
Yeah, the Olsen Twins.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Full House.
Dude, they're so mysterious, I can't tell if they're attractive.
What?
Yeah. I mean, as adult. Like, I can't tell. They're so weird. They're morphing. I don't know. They're like amoebas. I don't know. Their sister's attractive, the one that was in the Avengers.
Their sister was in the Avengers?
Yeah, I didn't know this. I had to look it up. Hmm. So, A Scarlet Witch is their third sister. Anybody?
Wanda Maximoff?
Oh, yeah. Her?
Yep. That's
she looks sister. Nothing like them.
No, she looks a lot like them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she's a brunette in the Avengers.
I see it.
You see it now?
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. She does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering who she was. I did not know she was an actual Olsen sister. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. No, that looks very similar right there.
Well, I watched this movie without seeing the movie had her backstory. So I had no idea who she was and what her importance played. But she was a badass in the movie regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So her name is Elizabeth Olsen. Wanda Maximoff must be the real name of Scarlet Witch.
She's the only person... I'm going to get into fucking lore, but... She's the only person that took on Thanos one-on-one and, like, kicked his ass. Not until somebody fucked her up was that. But, she one-on-one, she was fucking up Thanos.
No, she really was.
What's her superpower?
She could manipulate... she basically has magic.
Okay.
Like, she could just do magic. So, she can manipulate... She could do whatever she wants, basically.
Okay.
To certain degrees.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, that's about it for the Game Awards. Good times. Lots of announcements. Lots of things to look forward to.
Who was the band that played?
So they had the London Philharmonic play a few things for the Mario 35th anniversary. That was pretty good. And then they came back and played something else. They also had Eddie Vedder play a song from The Last of Us Part Two, because apparently that was a song in there that's kind of like an actual, very important in one scene for that. And it was, you know, I got to say, like, I skipped past that. Like, it's like Saturday Night Live musical performance, click, 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 skip that. But at the end, Eddie Vedder was just like, you know, I just wanted to say I really appreciated how the song was used in the game and, like, talked about it a little bit. And I think, oh, that's really cool, you know, kind of giving his blessing.
And you don't really think about those things either, how they're received. I'm sure there's artists out there, like, every time they give the licensing, it's just like, ooh, more money for me.
Yeah.
But some people actually care. What was it? I believe it's... God damn it. I can't think of who the band is. It's known as Led Zeppelin. They don't give out their songs for licensing. Mm-hmm. And the only movie I believe that they ever did it to was School of Rock with Jack Black.
Jack Black, yeah.
And it's because he recorded all 30 kids, like, asking, can we please use this? And then he sent them the video, and then they give him the blessing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's always funny when they do a biopic and then they can't get the rights for the music. That happened on the James Brown biopic. All right. Did you guys want to talk about, before we get to listener questions here, did you guys want to talk about all these crazy announcements from Disney? They had their investor day this week.
I do want to talk about it, but I have one more game. I do want to talk about, at the very top, Bobby, what is it called? Dungeon of the Endless?
Oh, Endless Dungeon. Yeah, they also ran the trailer.
Yeah, it's not Endless Dungeon.
I think it's Endless Dungeon.
Can you check it? Can you scroll up a little bit? Because there is an Endless Dungeon that exists, and that's where I got confused. It is Endless Dungeon. I think the other one is called Dungeon of the Endless. So
yeah.
This studio, it's a French studio, has this endless world that they had they have built.
All their games start with Endless.
Yeah, generally, they have three or four iterations of their 4X game, which is, I forget what it's called, Endless something.
Endless Legend?
Endless Legend. And Chad and I both played it, and we love the UI, and it's really nice. I played Dungeon of the Endless, and it's a roguelike, and roguelike slash tower defense, and I just never understood the mechanics. It was just, I ain't put enough time into it. I ain't get it. You have to, like, go get the ruby, bring the ruby home, and also put turrets on the way back so that it protects the guys that are trying to kill you on the way back. So I was like, oh, I hope this is not more of that. And then I play the trailer. First of all, great job on the trailer. Like, the animation's top notch. The music is top notch. And then I saw the gameplay and I was like, oh, it's a twin stick shooter. And it's a co-op twin stick shooter. And it's a roguelike. And it looks beautiful. Like, really well done. What is the one on Steam? Gee, you know about this game. That one where you just, you know, it's free. It's been on Steam forever. It's top down. You fight aliens.
Swarm?
Alien Swarm,
yeah.
It's gameplay wise, it looks a lot like that. But, I mean, graphically, it's way beyond that. And I'm really excited about this game.
There's a new Mass Effect trailer. This just went to a whole new.
Yeah. This is, again, one of those trailers that doesn't show you anything.
Oh.
It zooms through space. Then there's, I think, like, Talia picks up a thing that says N7 on it. And cut to black.
So anyway, I am very excited about Endless Dungeon.
Endless Dungeon, the artwork on the trailer that we were watching, it looks very unique. In terms of tower defense, I haven't touched a tower defense game since probably my original, Xbox One?
Yeah.
And it's an amazing type of game concept, but I feel like mostly maybe the mobile genre is soaking that up.
Yeah.
To actually see something
such as big and developed as this, it gets me really excited. And Endless Dungeon, it sounds good.
I hope it's good.
I love Tower Defense, and I do appreciate things about roguelikes, but the fact that it's not just like a complete roguelike type of platformer and or like dungeon crawler, I'm pretty excited to see what this might have to offer. What was the gameplay on this? Because I only saw the trailer.
Of Endless Dungeon?
Yeah, like the defense tower / dungeon thing.
So Dungeon of the Endless had Tower Defense in it.
Oh.
I don't think that Endless Dungeon does.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's a straight, you know.
They didn't show a lot of gameplay.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, it looks just like a twin stick shooter, isometric view.
Okay. Yeah. But with roguelike capabilities, that would be fun. Because
what's the release date on this? Do they have one yet?
Because Gungeon, so it's like Gungeon, but with, so it's like more
Gungeon's
or less
a straight top down. This is more like, what was the one that everyone was really getting into? Sacrifice, not Sacrifice, started with an S, Stealth, something. It was kind of hard. I played a little bit of it over here when it came out.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Ready to try a Mexican, Bobby?
How soon we forget the games that we love. Yeah, let's do it.
And then thank you so much, Nick, for the five subs there. Gifted five subs. Nick, I have not listened to a full episode where you were in it, but I did catch the very last of the last one. And supposedly you're a better FPS player than me, and I would like to... challenge you to a 1v1, sir. No, I'm kidding. Right. It's one of those things where I'm glad you were here to fill in the holes and anytime, any game. I love it. I actually don't know much about you, but I'm excited that you're a part of the community, and I look forward to getting to know you better, especially since you are an FPS player willing to fill any holes, Herod.
while we're waiting for Amelia here, I guess we'll talk about what's going on with Disney. Anything at all from what they announced exciting, you, Chi? I don't know. You weren't really into like
I was
Marvel.
Never a big Disney or I've yeah. never really oversold and
Marvel and the new Star Wars and all that stuff.
Mm-mm.
Well, it seems like
what's
everything
going on
they
with
announced.
Disney?
Well, they had their investor day where they just announced a bunch of new stuff, and it looks like they're really going towards streaming because movie theaters are closed, at least where we're at. Not a big market for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like everything they announced, a lot of stuff they announced is going to be for, what is this? It's got a fork. This looks
like
a
chocolate flan.
Yeah.
Tres leche. No.
Chocolate Bobby, flan. Do you have a full screen? Do you have a full screen of your dad? Flan.
I do not.
Going streaming like Disney Plus, Sam, Netflix.
Sam always tells me that I am not a real Mexican because, you know, I grew up in the United States and very far from the border. So
it's very sweet. It's like caramel.
Yeah, flan is basically. I think it has a lot.
I've had flan before. I don't like it. This tastes much better, but it's very sweet. This tastes like
it's got cake at the bottom.
Yeah,
yeah. Because
get it all together,
flan.
Man.
No, that's what I'm doing. I'm
get all three flavors together in one bite.
I did try it. It's really good. I felt like it wasn't overly sweet, which is good. And I only took the smallest bite because I'm pushing keto again.
Well, the top part is the sweet part.
Mm.
And then the bottom part, yeah, it's like a cake or some sort of fudge.
Yeah, so it's basically flan on top of a chocolate cake with some caramel at the very top, I believe.
Mm.
And I've always said that I hate flan. But all of my experiences with flan has always been like, it's the only dessert at like a lot of Mexican restaurants. And they just give you this like box, you know.
It's like pudding with the caramel sauce on top.
They just plop it down in front of you. It doesn't look very appealing.
It doesn't look good either.
It's actually really delicious.
And then I met real Mexicans. I started dating one. And I started getting their flan. And I was like, oh, this is what this is all about. And then now I'm being introduced to this new level of it, this choco flan, which is chocolate and flan together.
Mm.
Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I'm like you. I don't like flan. But that was really good.
Glad you like it.
It's very sweet. I mean, I'm not a big sweet cake guy, but that was good. Very caramelly.
Yeah.
I would love to learn how to make something like that
from scratch.
So, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, way to go, Sam. I would love to like recreate desserts with, keto style, I suppose.
What is flan made of? Like, what is
It's a pudding, right? So condensed milk, maybe? I don't know.
It's like a custard or something. But it's hard. It like stands upright on its own.
Here we're finding out. Amelia's just quiet.
Flatulence.
Egg, milk, and sugar.
Extreme flatulence.
Oh my goodness.
Condensed milk. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There really aren't a lot of Mexican desserts.
No, there's not. We're too hard. We're too busy trying to stay alive to come up with desserts. There's a lot of candies, though.
A lot of candies, a lot of entrees, a lot of Mexican meals.
Yeah.
But not a lot of desserts. Strange. Churros.
Churros.
Yeah, churros. There we go.
I think there's a lot of Mexican desserts, probably. At least the ones I've experienced.
Yeah.
Is that Yuchi?
Where? Oh, yeah. Those are my emotes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cricket.
Nice.
Smooches.
Okay. Mwah. Let's move on. Where are we at?
Time for listener questions.
Listener questions.
Oh, and shout out to Burn Division, 8 months subscription.
Can I also do a shout out since it's my first episode back?
No.
I promise Ice House and his wife, Linda, that I do a shout out to them because they really hounded my ass on coming back to the podcast. I was playing Legend of Zelda and they would not let it go about me. Not being on the cast anymore. So they planted the seed They basically verbally spanked me to coming back here. So big shout out to you two and everyone else, such as Cricket and everyone else that's just like popping in saying hello. Hey, where have you been? Thank you so much, guys.
Is Ice House the guy with the giraffe farm? Is that the same guy? He has a giraffe farm, right?
I have no idea.
No. I think that's...
Are you calling his wife a giraffe? That's rude. Well, Sniper, nothing to say. Mike stays off.
That's not the worst creature
to
be, honestly. That's not the worst creature to be compared to.
Better a big neck than a no neck.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw Big Ed at work. Do you guys know who Big Ed is?
No.
The biggest 90 Day Fiance, super meme. He's the one that dated the Filipina girl.
No.
I really should know because my girlfriend watches all that shit.
Are you at Ironside now?
I was.
Yeah.
They did a mass layoff.
It's like a hot spot to
me. Okay, I've seen this
guy. Very touristy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. I love it there. Oh, God, Big Ed. Yeah, he's super meme. I've seen him.
No chin.
Yeah, bro, look up Mayonnaise hair.
No neck.
Yeah. No, yeah, I saw him. I saw him at work. I gave him a Coca-Cola. He was the DD that night, so... I knew he was from San Diego. I didn't think I'd actually bump into him, though.
He's from San Diego?
Mm-hmm. He does, like, mukbang.
Oh, God. Is that that YouTube thing where people eat, like, live stuff?
Yeah. Well, they just eat copious amounts of food. That's what mukbang is, I think. Mukbang.
I know I'm about two weeks from that, but if I ever get to that point, please.
I know, about 2 weeks.
You can just beat the shit out of me.
You've already got the setup. You've got the camera. You've got the microphone.
No, I meant looking like him. Did he have a girl with him? Like an attractive girl? Because he's on TV.
But, he gets girls.
Jesus.
He gets girls. All right.
Get on TV. Fuck this Twitch shit. It's so weird.
God.
It is weird. Stay on my panel. Jeez, it's Brady Bunch. Stay in yours.
Wow. Imagine what I could do with all these fingers. Look at this.
Pick so many noses.
Ew. How do you wipe your ass with that?
I don't generally wipe my ass. I just wait till I take a shower.
Actually, in the beginning, I had to do that once. And when toilet paper was scarce, I ran out.
Yeah.
And I'd jump in the tub. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
you should
full on bidet.
2020 was hard for me, guys. Like, yeah. Hopefully, I don't have it as hard as
you. Just waffle stomp.
Hopefully, no one has it harder than me.
Waffle stomp it down into the drain.
Jeez. No, I didn't go in the tub. No, I just like you. Like, oh my God. Whatever.
Keep the show.
It was my bidet. Right.
Your job is to keep the show moving, Bob.
It's time for listener questions featuring Warconius. Here we go. first one comes from Demented Warlock. What size penis or tits did you choose in Cyberpunk 2077?
So I thought I was being super edgy when I started sending the picture of my big dick to everybody in the game. And everybody already knew. So I was playing D&D and I was on the side. Daze and I were talking about D&D, I mean about Cyberpunk. So I sent her this thing and she's like, oh. Penis too extra large, right? She knew the settings parameters of what well, I had sent her.
There's no, literally there's only... three sizes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Wait, there's three?
She knew exactly what it was.
I thought there's only two.
There's
two.
Small, large, and default.
Oh, default. That's right.
Yeah. There's yeah. So I mean you either go big, you go small, or you take the default one. Like I went with the default one. I don't even know if I found that option. So I'm assuming that's what I have. I haven't been in any experience where I would see my penis yet. Sorry, although buddy. I did have a bug where I kept snapping my field of view kept snapping down to my crotch.
Really?
Like every couple of seconds, and I like pull it back up, and then be like,
"What? Are you one of the dickless like players where you just run around no pants?"
Oh wait, is there an option for like none?
No, it's because your fucking character.
I think you could take off your pants.
Your character is pissed off that you gave him a little dick, dude. And he's showing you over and over, like, this is what you did to me.
The big one wasn't
is
even like that
yet?
Much
is it bigger yet? It's like he's panning like, just to check.
I thought it was going to be, like, comically large. And, it's so the
like
big option.
Age of Conan large?
Yeah, yeah. Like
that. Yeah, that got me banned from Twitch.
Yeah. yikes. All right.
Wait, I got to explain my experience with the parts here.
I got two things on this. One, I feel like developers would waste so much time on this because it doesn't matter the intricacies of what you look like. It really doesn't. I mean,
but, I just kind of took a default dude and was like, yep, good enough.
No, it mattered because that's the first anywhere from 20 to an hour and a half of your experience with the game. And it captured me. I had people, so I was streaming myself creating my character. And originally, as you know, I did a V girl and a V boy. With my V female, everything was normal as such. And then the part where they made me choose her tit size, I was shocked. I was already shocked because they actually gave me a teeth option, and I felt like no other character creation really gave you that option to choose what type of teeth you wanted. And then when it got to the titties, I was like, okay, that's pretty common, but I was shocked that they were just fully exposed tits. It wasn't like The Sims where they still had a bra on or some type of chest piece on, but it was just like, you know, lipstick, boom. Like, do you want nipples or no nipples? Like what kind of titty size? And my thought process on it was I want the big titties. Cause like, in, like, naturally, yes,
big
I want
titties,
the big
no
titties. But then I looked at the small titties. I'm like, no, this is too real for me. So I'm like, let me settle in the middle with some default.
I haven't seen huge tits in the game. Are there huge tits?
The big tits are actually not that big.
They're not that big.
Yeah, they're not that big.
Like I said, there's nothing like comically large or gargantuan.
Yeah.
Like it's all kind of within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And then with the nipples, I was really kind of disturbed because I was like, why does her nipple look like it has a crater in it? And it made me second guess what I think nipples look like because hers literally had a hole. Did you flip over to the female model?
No.
Her nipple had a, like, it looked like a, I called it the chest pupil. Like where her nipples look like she had two eyes on her breast.
Maybe you can get like extra cybernetics if you have... like in the boobs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, Bobby, if you go to the Hangout, first of all...
Oh, my gosh. Like, Sweet, character creation is everything in this game.
Evan Sweet said he found Chi in the game.
What? Are you kidding me? No, I did, too. I found a baby version of myself.
It's pretty solid. I'm like, Yeah.
Let me see. Cheap. I did. I found myself in the game as a V-boy or as like a male V. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to fuck myself in this game. And then I said, I'm going to have a type and I'm going to go screw every single Asian girl too. I'm going to have a type as a male V. So it's true though.
Are we doing that or not doing that, Sniper?
What?
Oh, can you bring that up from the webcast?
Yeah, I'm not signed into Discord. It would take a while, but I can do it for the end of the show.
It would take a while.
I just don't want us to get Twitch banned or anything like that. If you
I think I saw the picture. It's appropriate. Okay. We do have a specific channel for Cyberpunk in our Discord because so many people are posting things in there.
Okay, cool. And then with the male one though, it's everything's pretty proportionate in the male thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can really change to make them. There's a lot of like makeup options, a lot of hair and makeup options. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you can really do up that side. But as far as like, you know,
cybernetic options.
Fat, thin, you know, like the size of like body parts.
Fat, thin didn't even have, you didn't even have that option.
I don't think that's even in.
They didn't want you to be fat or thin.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But it's like in Skyrim, that was like.
Oh my God.
I don't see the resemblance, guys, but that, I guess.
I mean, it's basically chi, dude. Yeah.
That's me when I wake up first thing in the morning, for sure. Off.
Yeah.
No, I respect that. I respect body. That. With the bangs, the short hair.
Yeah.
I've got the wide nostrils. I think I'm a little bit more attractive than her. And
you are.
She's not
and she's a little
nice
bit
expression.
Too flat-chested. I don't know. But we both have equally, punchable faces, so
oh, jeez. Rude on yourself.
What did you do to her in the game? That's what I want to know. What? she has man hands, though, for sure. That's why I wear these sparkly nails, so they distract you
Ice House is the guy with the giraffe farm. He confirmed in chat.
Oh,
we gave it away to a place called Zootastic.
Nice.
They got a giraffe from the zoo because the zoo ran out of space, and they just had it on their farm. Like
that's so
outside.
Awesome. Ice, I did shout you and Linda out as well, too. You just missed it, but welcome. You joined at a great time.
Nice. All right, next question from Warconius, and he's got a few of them here. So who's going to play The Last of Us 2? There's a reason why it won a bunch of awards. It's the Breaking Bad of video games.
I wish I could, man, honestly. But it's not worth buying a system for, unfortunately. But those titles keep adding up. God of War, Spider-Man, Last of Us 1 and 2.
I think a big appeal from The Last of Us Part 2 is the story. And
The Last of Us is on Steam? Question mark?
No. Wait.
Somebody just said so. Nick said so.
What?
He must be talking about something else. I don't.
What are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure that's not on Steam.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Sony exclusive.
Yeah.
Although, Sony has been opening up their games a little bit more.
From maybe in response to Microsoft. Microsoft is the one that's kind of blew the doors open on that. And
what's the one with the robot animals everywhere? Event Horizon? Something Horizon.
Zero Dawn?
Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn. Mm-hmm. So that was like a first-party game, I believe. Or
that's not a bit. That's not Last of Us Part 2, though.
It was a big game. And you can get it through the PSN network. On PC.
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like a big appeal of that game is the story. And I don't really look to video games for good story. Probably because I watch so many movies and it's just like, you know what? I can do it better in 2 hours than they could do it in 60.
You gotta jump out of that game, dude. Jump out of that mindset.
No, like, what's a game that had, like, a story that really emotionally
moved
you?
Because it's fun as the story's being, you know? Like,
I don't know. Is it, like, a lot of the AAA games, I don't enjoy the mechanics, like, at all. Because it's just, like, the same stuff but polished that I've been doing for the last 25 years. Yeah. So, you know, like, I'd imagine there's some combat and there's maybe crafting. I really don't know what that game is about, but I know like people really enjoy the story and you know, that's great, but I just don't want to commit that kind of time to that.
You know? Chris, get Nick on the horn, please. I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I get moved by video games probably just as much as,
if not more.
TV shows and
you
movies.
You have more time to get hooked.
You guys got to watch better movies.
Oh, Bobby. Bobby, no, we just actually have emotions installed.
Yeah.
You're like data looking for the emotions checked. Now you can play the sound effect.
All right. Next question from Warconius. Any games in 2020 that you feel went under the radar? I'd choose Beyond Blue and The Pedestrian.
I would like to see what those two games are.
He had them linked in Discord, and I took a look at them, and I'm trying to remember what they were. I've not heard of either of those games, so perhaps they were under the radar. You know, I didn't expect Deep Rock Galactic to show up on the Game Awards. I thought maybe co-op, like it's the only category it could even qualify for, but, you know, it did kind of feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's such a great game, and I was like, it would kind of feel out of place because it's not really like a AAA game, and it's not like it's a very PC game, you know.
That's is it officially launched, and that's why it mm-hmm. was brought up on the Game Awards? Because I feel
no,
like
it wasn't
it's always been
brought up on the
really?
Game Awards.
Oh, it wasn't.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
I'm
what
sorry.
I'm saying. Like, I kind of wish it would have, but I get why it wasn't. But yeah, it officially launched this year. So I don't know that game. God, there was something else. There was another game that I was just like, really, no mention? I don't know. Was there anything, any outstanding game this year that came out this year, Chi, that you thought should have been on there?
Well, here, this question is actually going to highlight my gamer weakness and awareness. I actually don't have an answer to this listener question. It's probably the first listener question I've ever been stumped on, because this kind of highlights what my 2020 has been and with gaming. I have zero. I have very, very low awareness. I'm learning like new titles and the names of titles as they're coming out this year. So I've basically, I don't have an answer to this question. Unfortunately, no, I haven't immersed myself enough to be able to.
You know, the other game I was thinking about was Black Mesa, because that officially released this year, and I thought
Did
that
it?
Was just an outstanding game. Yeah, yeah, it officially released like in January.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I thought that was like an incredible game, but again, that's like not a game that's going to be talked about at the Game Awards. Like when you talk about the right. whole entire scope of gaming consoles and everything, then a lot of things kind of fall by the wayside. And that's what I was talking about when I was saying like there's a difference between like a PC game and a console game. You know, like Deep Rock Galactic, very PC. Black Mesa, that's a very PC game. You know, that's not something I would feel would do well on a console, even though Deep Rock Galactic is on consoles.
Like, I don't think it's exploded on consoles.
No, not like on PC.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably maybe that, like the underwater submarine Lovecraftian game. I feel like that might have went under the wayside. It's so hard
Which
to tell.
Was that?
What are you talking about, dude? You talked about last episode.
Stirring Abyss?
Yeah, Stirring Abyss.
Why would that be talked about at the Game Awards? That game was like all right at best.
No, I'm talking about went under the radar. Am I on the wrong listener question?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess he didn't mention the Game Awards specifically.
Yeah, he just went under the radar.
Amelia, I can still smell things through this mask, by the way. You guys can't tell because the camera pans from our shoulders and up. But Emilio has his feet, like right under my nose.
I have smelly mouth. I don't have smelly feet.
Emilio, this is how you know I've recovered from COVID. I could smell your feet, Emilio.
There's no way.
Totally. Totally way. You guys can't see it.
I have a bad sense of smell because of my
Bobby,
sinuses.
Tell me if this smells.
I can't tell you, dude. I have a terrible sense of smell because of my sinuses.
Calm down. Oh, my God.
Gee.
You can't smell your own funk, dude.
No. I really don't know.
Bobby?
No, I'm not going to smell that. God, dude.
My feet don't smell. They never have my whole life.
Beyond Blue and The Pedestrian. Okay, I'll give those another look.
And maybe I'll come up with another answer for you, Raconius. I'm ashamed that I don't have one. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Warconius's next question. Hey, gamers, or have gamers become absolutely schizophrenic? After spending 2 years of sucking CD Projekt Red's dick, they've now turned on them because a massive game with lots of complex elements has bugs. There are some people that just need to be slapped.
It's tough, man. I think if you're going to point a finger at the culprit, there's a lot of factors. Why would you put a date on your game? I don't understand why you would. It's not a publicly traded. You're not appealing to your investors.
I think that's all part of marketing. Yeah, like, it can be very strict.
That's exactly why, though. They do have investors. It is publicly traded. That's why they had to wrap
CD
it up.
Project Red is?
Yeah, and they had to get it out before the end of the year. But I don't think you really need to look too deep into this question, man. Gamers are shitty people. Speaking as a gamer, we're fucking terrible, dude. We whine about everything. Yeah. We demand everything, and if we don't get it, we complain. And if it's not perfect, we go on the internet and whine about it.
It's like we always wanted to be bigger and better. It's like stepping into the CarMax lot and asking for the nicest car in there, when realistically your wallet has no actual capability of matching your desires. But I also feel like with this game, I'm not a console gamer, so I feel like we don't have it as bad as other people are having it, and it is kind of unacceptable on that scale. But it's enough to definitely hinder your experience on PC.
Yep.
I was reading the same thing at the same time. It's all capitalism's fault, man. the whole like trying to make everybody happy every quarter, I guess. I don't know. You shouldn't put a date on games. They should just come out when they come out. And I'm not saying this is a huge loss. And the other thing is, like, there's no stress test like actually launching. Like, now they know everything that's wrong with their game. And the worst ones are blaringly obvious. So they're going to jump on that shit right away. And, you know, in a month or 2 months or 6 months, we're going to have a really good game.
Well, honestly, I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be. I'm not talking about the game itself. I'm talking about the reaction. Like, I scrolled through my Google feed or whatever, and it's just like, PlayStation says they're refunding copies, and Cyberpunk releases to too many bugs, and it's like all this, like, you know, all these terrible things that look really bad. And then you on our Discord, and everybody's just posting all this shit and enjoying the hell out of it.
It is very comedic.
I saw AAA. It was a reputable source. I forgot what it was, but it's like AAA games unsustainable.
Yeah, there's a lot of super clickbaity titles and YouTube videos out there right now that are just trying to, like, get you all hyped up, like, oh my God, Cyberpunk is a disaster. It's not, dude. It's not a disaster.
Like we said.
Like, it's fine. The game is, like, totally functional and, like, playable, and it's got a bunch of bugs, and who didn't see that?
But here's the thing. Like, my question is, if it ran perfectly, no bugs, no glitches, is it a good game?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good game, but is it game of the year game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, your game has to be made to some level of competency, I feel like. And, you know, it sucks when you go to read reviews about a game on Steam and all you hear is complaints about bugs. And it's like, no, I want to hear about the actual game. I understand that there's bugs and these bugs aren't going to be relevant in a couple of months, you know, but I just... it's difficult because you run into that with games a lot, and you just got to take it with a grain of salt.
But this game will definitely not be my game of the year, and
it's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell, but also I said that very early on because I didn't necessarily follow the hype train. I did no preliminary research. I kind of knew Cyberpunk 2077 was coming, but I wanted to organically just experience it as on my own. But even on the first day, as I was going through character creation, I was super impressed by a lot of the little things that I noticed that other video games don't offer quite yet. And because of that, I was like, okay, maybe I was like, this is going to be game of the year. But as until I actually got into the gameplay, and then I was like, why do I want to shut this off and go play something else?
not Breath of the Wild necessarily, but a shooter that was a little bit higher intensity. And maybe, and I know my pacing is a huge like factor to that. I allowed myself to be distracted by all the good things they were doing, such as the fashion, the immersibility that it has, but then with all the bugs and the glitches, that immersion just kind of evaporates. It really does. It really, really does.
Yeah. Gee, that was maybe the smartest, like, that was a really good way of putting that, because even though they nailed it with the world, the world is also torn apart by people flying off for no reason.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
People like,
I can really get into what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Every video game has that problem, though. And this is why, like, it's such a difficulty for them to tell a good story, is because you're watching these, like, very awkward, stiff, like, replications of people act out, like, very emotional scenes. And it's just like, it's like watching a movie with, like, puppets or something, you know. It's just like there's a disconnect there. But I've noticed that with Cyberpunk, like there's a lot of times where I'll be talking to somebody and they'll be looking in the other direction when I'm standing over here, or little things like that, that yeah, kind of break that. But you know, that's just kind of video games in general. I don't know, man. Like, I just think, like, right now, like the thing to get clicks is to talk about like all the terrible things about Cyberpunk, but I think for the most part, this game's a huge success.
Yeah. Is there anything you like about the combat right now, though?
I like slicing people up.
You yeah. What?
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's slicing not really
people.
That fun.
Oh, like, yeah,
I
like beheading people.
Run in and hack and slash and just spam the left mouse button.
I have never felt like such a sloppy shooter ever before. I'm not.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the game. The NPC movement,
every gun is very different too. Like some of them have charges you got to hold on to. Some they have different types of sights you can attach scopes. Like they have different like firing patterns. Every gun is just so different. So I just think it's something I got to spend more time with before I really judge it. But you know, even at the Game Awards, like that Star Wars game from last year, Fallen Order, was nominated for something. Now that game came out not this year, but the year before, like late November or December. So the Game Awards are doing this thing where, you know, if your game comes out November or December, then we're not going to, we're obviously not going to nominate it this year. The game. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's like pretty early to start casting a bunch of judgments.
Yeah.
It's tough for like people who do this for a job, because you've got to get your review up super fast so everybody clicks on it and reads it. But at the same time, like if you post, you know, if you play a 60-hour game in like a few days, and you know, what kind of experience are you having? You know, are you having the intended experience? Are you really qualified to write a review like that? So I don't know. Like this is not a game that I can really give a definitive opinion on until I've spent a good amount of time over a period of time.
But it is a good thing, because what's awesome is this is rare in DLG history, where all of us are playing the same game.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like a holiday or an event. Everybody's playing this game.
Bobby,
yeah,
exactly. Are you gonna continue?
Yeah, I'll keep playing it.
Gee, are you
absolutely. I'm not going to overpromise under deliver like I usually do, but I see myself toughing it out.
I might be the one pulling back. I feel like I just want to play. Like, I don't want the glitches. There's going to be a better experience 6 months from now. And
I mean, as long as they don't change it to a point where your saves are useless, that would be
that's not gonna happen.
I hope not, but I mean that's what happened in Divinity. Both of them.
You know what it is with me in Cyberpunk, the reason why I know I'm gonna tough it out is because I actually create unique experiences with what they have in the game, but not necessarily because they authentically offer it to me. For instance, the first time you get into the car with Dex, as soon as I got out of the car, I tried to freaking rob it, and I couldn't. But then I ended up sitting on the hood of his car as it drove away, and just to see where he would take me. And then he just, like, nonchalantly crashed into a wall and just, like, just straight up, like, that was it. So it's like I created these unique experiences. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, it's a sandbox.
Yeah, it's a sandbox. So it's like. Sandbox. Yeah, it is a true sandbox. So you kind of create your own fun.
Yeah.
If the game falls short at all.
Mm-hmm. I think we had one more listener question here from Nick. I'm going to scroll up, see if I can find it. Where did it go?
You want me to just tell you it, Bobby?
Whoa.
Oh, there he is.
What is on Steam, dude? Are you implying that Last of Us 2 is on Steam?
No, I got confused. Sorry, I've been drinking. Horizon Zero Dawn's on Steam, and it is a great story.
We weren't talking about that game when you text that.
I know.
It doesn't always line up.
Cut me some slack.
He just like hit us with the fake news.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Alex Jones.
Well, did you want to tell us your question right here then, or just
yeah, sure. So, what do you guys think about games being developed in secret? Just to avoid some of the hype that we've been getting for, like, example, Cyberpunk. We've been teased Cyberpunk for like 8 years, and we finally get it. And there's so many people like, oh, it's so overhyped and everything. Do you think that AAA games should just be developed in secret and then made public like a month before they're put out, and you know, just reap the rewards then?
Well, there's two sides of that. One, Cyberpunk's already made back its money.
Yes.
And
oh yeah, of course.
Development costs and its marketing costs. So that is not based on Cyberpunk. That's all based on The Witcher. Like, everything that they're reaping right now is from what they sowed with The Witcher.
Well, you can't give The Witcher all the credit. Yeah, they had a lot of goodwill built
in. Street cred.
Yeah, but then they ran a bunch of trailers for Cyberpunk and people fell in love with it. I think, like, that's a nice idea, and I've definitely, like, thought that before. Like, don't even tell me. And that's kind of how I react to a lot of the trailers I see on the Game Awards. Like, I don't even want to know about it. Like, if you're just going to show me a trailer of some dude running around with some music playing and shooting in an explosion, like, that doesn't tell me anything. I don't care. But at the same time, like, they're running a business, and you really need to generate hype for your game. Like, eyeballs on your game are just incredibly important. You follow any developer on Twitter and they're just constantly doing whatever they can to get eyeballs on them and their game.
Especially since gaming now is so, what do I say? It's so congested compared to what gaming was to us two decades ago. The titles were only as they existed on the shelf of the video game store. And that was the lifespan of that video game, and or the true diehard titles like Mario, Zelda, the ones where through word of mouth, honestly, is how they develop as these classic staple titles. Because before then, no one was on the internet. So now it's a whole new type of marketing game, especially in an over congested. Now I honestly feel video gaming is over congested and super quickly. When you think about YouTube personalities, video games that are offered, Steam and Steam itself and everything else, I feel like the strategies that they're working towards are trying to cater to how the market exists as it is now. And right now it's just like, just working through the game, how I felt overstimulated by everything that I had to look at, thinking that something was important when it honestly served me no purpose at all. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of how I feel like we are marketed as gamers, because we're, if anything, like, there's just too much. Like, as a gamer and even a diehard gamer, how do you even fit in the time and or capacity to even keep up with everything that is being produced now?
You got to be homeless.
Sorry.
With some sort of rig and like,
well, not homeless, jobless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or young.
I think Cyberpunk does a very good job of distracting. Mm-hmm. Like, they did a very good job of hyping and distracting you from every other option that you have.
Yeah. And they did a good job of hyping it up for a long time, like over a period of time too. Like, it came out and people immediately were like, this looks incredible. And it's from the guys who made The Witcher. I'm on board. Doesn't come out for, well, at the time we thought like a year, year and a half. But they managed to keep it going. They had that reveal that Keanu Reeves was going to be in the game. Then they'd show a little bit more gameplay. Mm. They'd reveal certain details at certain points. And all that stuff is very carefully done to help their marketing campaign.
Dude, Siri in Witcher 3 having a fever dream and talking about Cyberpunk inside of the game, that was like, whoa. That was like some meta fucking marketing. That was super deep. There has been, I remember maybe once this year, there was a game, I can't think of what it is, or maybe it was last year, where it was like, here's this game, it's ready to go, and it's coming out in 2 weeks. And I feel like that's another way that, It could have been Apex Legends.
Yeah, Apex Legends was like that.
Yeah. It's just like, here's this game that works with no bugs, and nobody knows about it, and here it is, and you get it in 2 weeks. And we're all like, oh, shit.
Exactly.
And it blew up. I think that... I prefer that approach.
Well, of course, everybody prefers that. That'd be fucking fantastic if people were just like, hey, here's the game. 2 weeks. Boom. There it goes. But you got to think that... I don't know about games. I could speak more to movies. When you're making a movie, you have to get producers or investors involved. So what you do is you say, hey, I've got this big actor attached. And then people are like, really? Okay, I'm interested. Then you start generating a lot of hype. And then they kind of, people will feel more secure putting money into something they think that they're going to get a financial return on. So like Apex Legends, yeah, that was absolutely great for them. But, you know, they weren't really banking on that. For the most part, like, people are working with money that they need to make money, so they need to get people that fund this. I don't know. I'm sure someone can give a much better explanation of that. But what I'm saying overall is, like, I totally understand why people do that and why the system is the way that it works. And it's because, you know, gamers often say one thing with their mouth and another thing with their wallets. Like, it sells games. Hype sells games.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, so... You know, that's what they're going to do.
What are you guys playing next week?
More Cyberpunk, Killing Floor 2. The holiday event has started. I've been playing that. We'll continue to play that. Hop on, join me for that.
Chi, more Breath of the Wild for you?
Oh, wait, no, Bobby didn't finish, though.
Oh, sorry.
And
no, I think that's it.
Sounded like he was done.
And I'm done. No, just hearing that, by the way, that's really refreshing. I know I haven't been around for a while, but honestly, I'm in a very good place where I feel like my 2020 challenges are not behind me, but at least I'm in a good point where I'm in a breather point.
That's good.
I don't know the future, and I am already well done and over the past. And I am just embracing gaming again, and I love the games that I'm playing. I think I'm being really smart about the types of game that I'm playing. Yeah. Games I'm playing, Breath of the Wild. I look to finish that fairly soon. I did jump on the Cyberpunk hype train, and with my pacing on that game, I need to give it more time. I don't have a definitive impression of Cyberpunk, and it's sad that I have to put maybe 20 hours into this game to make that opinion. Because it hasn't really sold me, so I'll be playing that. Besides that, I'll just be... it's mostly those two titles, and then my hello, Back for Blood. I'm going to be completely absorbed into that. Hopefully I can get you guys in the alpha, too.
When does the alpha start?
December 17th. If you go on the website to register or on their Discord, I don't know if they're still doing the giveaway. But if you sign up and register for the alpha on... the website, I think they won't start releasing the codes until the 15th. So you have good time.
I think I'm going to delete Cyberpunk for now.
No, not because
it's bad. It's not unplayable or anything. I just want a better experience when you know, I'm going to wait for that. I don't think spoilers are going to be coming out. Maybe they will, but I don't really care.
There's really not a whole lot to spoil in that game. Nothing that I've encountered or seen so far is anything mind-blowing. It's like a lot of little stories. I don't even really know what the big main story is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But I, you probably don't have time to play anyway. I mean, a game like that.
I will in about 2 weeks. I mean, I keep saying 2 weeks every 2 weeks, but that's what I think.
Do you need me to start selling Insidious for you?
Yeah. We should talk.
Yeah, no, I need a bottle on the way home.
I don't have any.
Oh, gosh darn it.
Make it too? All right. We'll talk later. I will be playing BPM. I've been really wanting to play that. So I'm going to get into that. Besides that, I don't know. That's going to be my game time. So speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, Cyber Titties. That's my cyber sound. It'll be so bad.
Nice.
A little more than it was good. Out of the triple flat.
Do you have anything without sugar? I'll eat it.